Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, take a moment just before we go back into our subject today and our discussion, our issue today, biblical love misunderstood. Before we get back into the context of that, the dialogue and discussion with Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, let me give you a personal invitation to join us this Sunday, 9:30 for Bible study, Sunday school, and at 10:45, the morning worship service. We're continuing our Countdown to Calvary series leading up to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and the Countdown to Calvary series, we'll be looking at a subject, a message titled, The Sorrow of the Cross. The Sorrow of the Cross. We'll be in Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter. I believe the number is about verse 26 through about verse 42, if I'm not mistaken. It's where Peter denies the Lord Jesus 3 times, and it's leading up to the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll join us. If you're looking for a church where the old-fashioned gospel is proclaimed without fear or any favor, if you're looking for a church where old-fashioned gospel music is sung and not your rock and roll, not your rock and roll music with the strobe lights and the smoke machine going, just simply the truth of the Word of God proclaimed. If that's what you're looking for, I believe you'll find First Conservative Baptist Church a church home for the future for you and your family. Looking forward to having you visit with us. This little extra special thing for this Sunday. This Sunday will be the 40th year anniversary of the founding of First Conservative Baptist Church. 40 years ago, it seems like it was just yesterday, but Sunday will be our 40th year anniversary. There's not anything super that we'll do other than just talk about it, speak of it, maybe take 5 or 6 minutes of giving a brief thumbnail sketch of the history of what God has done here. But we'd love to have you as one of our listeners to be present with us and allow us to recognize you as being one of our special Let's Face the Issue radio listeners. We'd love to have you this Sunday, 9:30 for Bible study, 10:45 for worship service. That invitation goes for each and everyone that's listening today. We'd love to have you. Ladies and gentlemen, as we continue our discussion about biblical love misunderstood, let me just simply say this. There's a mindset somehow, some way, that if I love you, I will never confront you. If I love you, I will never call sin sin. If I love you, I will always simply celebrate with you, embracing whatever lifestyle you live, and that will be okay with multitudes. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the culture today, in the woke culture, that's what they call God's love. It is God's love being spoken today, carried out, that you can't judge me. You can't talk about my sin. In fact, in that judge not lest you be judged for what judgment you judge, you will be also judged in the same fashion. Paraphrasing the text, but it says, get that log out of your eye, that beam out of your eye, before you judge the other individual. That gives the authorization for Christians to recognize sin and call sin out, just as God does. Because God loves us, He does not simply celebrate sin with us. I'm looking at an article that says this, in part, the current trend of many churches is to avoid any talk that might make someone uncomfortable. The idea is that being non-judgmental and tolerant is the epitome of love. Yet while this seems kind on the surface, it often leaves people stuck in their struggles, never hearing the full truth that gives life-changing messages of the gospel. Love that's afraid to speak up is not love at all. It is more like indifference dressed up as kindness. Let's look at some key figures in the Bible who got the balance right, speaking truth out of genuine love when it wasn't easy to have that opinion, if you will. So, Dr. Davis, what are some of the illustrations in the scripture where, because of love, something took place? Talk about it for a moment, and I'll just illustrate and toss the ball to you. The woman that was caught in adultery, Jesus forgave her, but what did he do? Go and sin no more.
Amen.
He confronted the sin, but he said, don't do it anymore. Don't keep on doing that, even though he had forgiven it. And we have a society today where the mindset is that love means being nice, never causing offense, certainly not pointing out the person's going in the wrong direction or is involved in sin. So that goes to the question at point that I want us to listen and think on. We have a world today that's embracing the sodomite lifestyle. We have a world today, a whole society, that embraces the LGBTQ agenda. We have a society today that says that because I live with my partner that happens to be a man and I'm a man, I'm living with my partner, it's because I love them and they love me and all love is of God. That's the mindset that's given, and I've heard that statement made and a remonstration against anything that I would say many, many, many times. How do you respond to that? What do you say? And then we'll take our next caller.
Well, if we continue on in Scripture and if we actually trust and believe that God's Word is true, mm-hmm. we must understand that God has not only at this time, but from the beginning, God has spoken out against such actions. Now, he did not tell us, Dr. Youngblood, to judge individuals, but he did tell us to judge those actions because his word also judges actions. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this in short. The book of Hebrews tells us that the word of God is quick and powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides between the joint and the marrow and the soul and the spirit, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So now, this is telling me that that word is what's actually doing that. So when we see things happening in the lives of individuals that we know are not biblical, because we have such a love and a concern for them, even if they're not saved, because we don't want to see them go to a devil's hell.
That's right.
God said he didn't make hell for mankind, but he made it for the devil and his angels. Mm-hmm. But it's pathetic, and it's so sad that some are going because they choose to reject God and his word.
Absolutely.
So what we're trying to do actually is turn you away from that false sense of rejection because of the twisted and perverted sin that's out in the world, that's perverted the hearts and minds of all individuals outside of Christ Jesus. And then when we look at the ones in the church who seem to be leaning that way because of a false sense of security, and a misunderstanding of who God is and of what his word is, then they tend to make those decisions based on error and not on truth. So this is the reason why we try to turn them away from that, what you were saying earlier, to let them know that if we don't do it like God's word says, and we know his word is right, then we commit sin. We are signing off.
Absolutely.
On sinful
we are
activities.
Embracing and celebrating that sin.
Amen.
I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are all of you today?
Good.
Hello,
great.
Brother
I
Jim.
Pray that you are. Go ahead.
Hello. When Dr. Davis was alluding to natural love earlier there, he was describing the natural love versus God's love. Something struck me that God's being above man, and particularly the verse or the psalm, no, it's proverb, God's ways are higher than man's ways. But it brought to mind Matthew 7:9-11, where it says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Then it goes on down and it says, though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those that ask him? And I know that's about gifts there, but in a way, it's an expression of God's, I'm interpreting it as an expression of God's love for mankind and what he's willing to give us, even though we're natural. And that's the illusion, that's what I got from what Dr. Davis was saying, and I was wondering your thoughts on that interpretation or that thought coming to me.
That's absolutely correct. Dr. Phelps, would you respond to that?
I believe that the scriptures teach us that God wants good things for all of
yes.
us. God wants us to enjoy his blessings, enjoy the things that God has provided for us. And God wants us to love him back as well. There should be a lot more of thanksgiving on the part of us as believing Christians today. We know the world doesn't think that way, but we need to be thankful. We need to be praising God for so many blessings and benefits that we have. The list could go on and on.
That's right.
What God has done for us.
Amen.
And God has made it so that we can love like he loves. We're made in the image of God.
That's right.
And we can be loving, we can be kind, we can be generous because God is. And God has given us the presence of his Holy Spirit to enable us to do that.
Absolutely.
The scriptures teach Amen. Us that love, the love of God is the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. That's just one of the things that the Spirit of God helps us with. But this moral character of God is in us so that we can love others and produce this quality or the character of God. When we do so, then we reflect the truth about God. And we become witnesses by doing so.
Absolutely. And that's what we should be as the witness, Jim. Jim, let me run a couple of things by you and get your take on it, then we'll let you go. We're in a society today, I call it the woke culture. And in the woke culture, even from the pulpits, there's a mindset that we're going to embrace the culture rather than confronting the culture. We live in a mindset today, in a world with a mindset, even among Christians, and I've seen it too many times, churchgoers that call themselves Christians, and even with pastors, that you ought not to confront things. I believe that we need, as Christians, we need to confront sin, need to call sin out, refuse to embrace it, and challenge it, because that's what Jesus did throughout the Scripture. And it is not because we hate somebody, it's because we love them. Now, Jim, I'm going to toss it to you. You've got son, daughter, mother, wife, some relative. You love them. Do you love them enough to tell the truth? You go to a doctor. The doctor finds there's a cancer. The doctor certainly does not say, you know, there's a little scab there. Don't worry about it. It's going to go away. But does he honor his credentials enough to tell you the truth? Our credentials as Christians, as Dr. Phelps was just speaking of, is a witness because we're created in the image of God. We need to be that witness that says, what you're doing is sin, what you're doing is wrong, I love you too much to let you do that. Are you in agreement with that? What are your thoughts?
I would be in agreement with that. You're supposed to do it in a spirit of love. I think one of the tenets is you do it privately. You don't bring it before the church, and if they don't see your way and you don't win your brother back, then you bring another individual, and you're trying to do it in a way that respects them, but at the same time, you don't want to be hateful about it or create animosity. So, yeah, I would thoroughly agree with that.
Yeah, statement. And picking up on what you're saying there, Jim, the portion that you were alluding to and paraphrasing is part of church discipline. And church discipline, yes, is when you've gone to the brother, he refuses to hear, you go back with a witness, not as witness for what you're saying, but a witness as to what he or she's done. You confront, if they don't hear you, then you remove them from the church. But even beyond that, let's say that there's a person that you love, there's a person that's a fellow believer, and that individual says, you know, I'm living with this man or woman, it's not my husband, it's not my wife, but I really love that person because Jesus loves me and I love them, it's okay. Or do you simply say, nope, that's sin, that's wrong, you can't do that. I had an individual a number of years ago that had been married 5 times. He was a professing Christian, and he wanted me to do pre-marriage counseling. And he was up in years, been married 5 times, and was dating a young lady that was from Alabama, 19 years old, and he wanted me to do the counseling for them to get married. And after a few minutes into the counseling session, I told the young lady, I said, the best thing you can do is pack your bags, go back to Alabama. You don't need to marry this man. He's been married 5 times. He'll ruin your life. That man claimed that I had destroyed his life. That lady packed up her bags. She went back to Alabama, did not have any wedding with that man. But for the rest of that man's days, I don't know whether he's alive or not, but for the rest of the time that I knew him, he said, I'd ruined his life. All I did was tell the truth out of love. I didn't want to see her ruin her life because he had been married 5 times and would be headed down the same path with her. So what I'm saying is, Jim, and I know that this is where you stand on it, love is viewed today that if you really love somebody, you'll never confront sin. If you love somebody, you'll always be kind, never be judgmental, as it's called. Love, you'll always try to make somebody feel good. If you love somebody, you'll sugarcoat sin and not speak the truth. That is simply a false understanding of biblical love. And we need to take that stand today, Jim, I believe, more than ever in the history of the church. The church is being inundated with the modern culture that says you can do anything you want, go anywhere you want to, live whatever life you want to, and it's okay because I love everybody, everybody loves me, let's just have a come-by-ya moment. And I believe that's going to destroy multitudes of lives. Jim, brother, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. So, Dr. Phelps, let me ask a question, then I want Dr. Davis to respond to it. Because of the truth of biblical love and our wanting to see people, as Dr. Davis said earlier, want to see people keep people out of hell rather than see them go to hell. If we have today, and I'm going to give you a big blanket statement, if we have today in many churches where a homosexual is a member of the church, homosexuals sometimes are pastoring churches, homosexuals are living in that homosexual sodomite lifestyle in the church, and pastors won't preach against it, and they say that I love him, we're going to just love that person. It's what's wrong with that kind of statement? What's wrong with that lifestyle? What's wrong with that kind of preaching a church?
In Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, God was speaking to Abraham about the city of Sodom. Mm-hmm. And God said that what was going on there was a grievous sin. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the only passage of Scripture that I need to know that God is not in favor of that way of living, that manner of life. I believe it's like blasphemy to
yes.
equate the Sodomite lifestyle with the love of God. It's an affront to a holy God to even talk that way. And so I suggest that we need to allow the Scriptures to form our minds, our hearts, and our thinking, and to give us the backbone to stand up for the truth of the Word of God. God is not the author of an immoral lifestyle.
Absolutely. Dr. Davis, how do you talk to our audience? We've got Christians listening. Some are mature, some are immature, some are just ignorant of the word, if I can say that. But how would you respond to our listeners today that may think that it is the Christian thing to do to love the brother that's in sin and not say anything, to embrace him, to fellowship with him, and to celebrate with him or her? What do you say to that?
Well, it's sad to see Dr. Youngblood, and my heart bleeds, you know, just to know that it is true. Many believers are ignorant, sadly. We're not saying it in a sarcastic way.
Nope.
And we're not trying to cut anyone down. It's the pure, honest truth. They are ignorant to the Word of God. And it's simply because they have failed to study, as Scripture commands, to show thyself approved, or workman unto God, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word. Amen. There's a right way and a wrong way to divide the Word of God. But you, if you divide it rightly, you will come to the full fruition of the knowledge that God has there. There's some nuggets in the Scripture that we can pull away from there to apply in the right situation at the right time so that we don't get caught up into sin. Now, here's what I don't agree with a lot of pastors. If you let the Spirit of God lead you into what to do, and how to do it in the church, the Spirit of God will not allow you to take a homosexual person into the number as a member.
Can't do it, baby.
Now, you counsel them and let them know if they are willing to depart from that way, they can come and connect up with the body of Christ. But biblically speaking, a homosexual or lesbian, any person, and we're not just coming down on them, any person caught up in sin, and let's make sure we're not making it sound like we're just picking on homosexuals.
Well, it's a habitual lifestyle. It's not just...
Anyone, that's right. In a perverted lifestyle, cannot come and connect up with the body of Christ biblically and be a member of the body of Christ unless they repent of that sin first.
They've got to be saved. That's the bottom line.
That's it. And that's all we're saying.
That leads into my thought. I'm looking at an article that says Andy Stanley, Charles Stanley's son, Andy Stanley, North Point Community Church in Atlanta. Here's an article. Andy Stanley's unconditional contradiction. North Point Community Church hosted the Unconditional Conference, billing the gathering as an event for parents of LGBTQ plus children and for ministry leaders looking to discover ways to support their LGBTQ children in our churches.
My.
And it goes on to say, conference featured speakers who were either same-sex relationship or supportive of those who were same-sex relationship. In fact, it goes on to say, Stanley argued that this pastoral purpose warranted involving these particular speakers, outlined what he teaches about sexual ethics, and spoke to how the church can move forward with this issue. Further, the article states, and I'm familiar with this. This took place just a couple of years back. It was in 2023. The most controversial conference speaker were two married gay men who are also Christ followers in the church.
My.
He said, because their stories of growing up in church environments while experiencing same-sex attractions would be instructive and inspiring for his church. What do you say to that, Dr. Phelps?
I think it's pathetic. It's very pathetic that we have people today who want to excuse the immoral lifestyle of anyone. They may say things like this, oh, they can't help it. But the truth is, God can.
That's right.
Amen.
All of us need God to help us in our lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Because without supernatural help, we cannot live the Christian life. I believe one of the problems we have today is many church members are not believing Christians.
That's right.
So whenever I talk about a Christian, I want it to be understood. I'm talking about a believing Christian.
Yes. Amen.
One
Amen.
Who is trusting Christ as their personal Savior according to the Scriptures.
Yes.
Not according to some theologian.
Yes.
But according to the Scriptures. The Bible tells us, as many as received Christ, to them God gives the power to become the sons
Amen.
Or daughters of God.
Amen.
And so we need people who are born again in the churches today. We need to fill our pews with people whose lives have been transformed.
Absolutely.
Those who are true followers of God according to the Scriptures and who are living a Christ-like life as a believing Christian.
Absolutely.
Amen.
So could we say then,
in kind of a summary thought, yet we've got other points to make, but in kind of a summary thought, that the church doors are wide open for sinners to come in and hear the word. But the church doors cannot be open for membership for a person that's living a life of perpetual sin and refusing to rebuke the sin and remove themselves from it. Andy Stanley argues, this is another point, Andy Stanley argues that this response is not condoning sin, but restoring relationships. But that comes after apparently accepting the premise that chastity is not sustainable in a person's life. Goes on to say, the love between a husband and wife is a unique form of love, but hardly the only form of love. End quote. That's blasphemy.
Well, it's sad that he calls himself a pastor, because what you just read in there, he has agreed to accept that the two men were joined together in marriage. Mm-hmm. That's not biblical. Mm-hmm. Not for a pastor.
That's
now,
right.
And not for a born-again believer. When you look at Scripture, Scripture is the truth, okay? Scripture lets us know, amen, that God recognizes the union between a man and a woman, not two men and two women. So pastor is in error right there, and it's sad to say he's leading his people in the same way.
Absolutely. It's unfortunate. It's sad. I've got another article, and this article is Preaching Like Jesus, the LGBTQ Community, and it's by Dr. J.D. Greer. The date of the article is 5/26 of 2018. Dr. Greer was formerly the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And Dr. Greer, to make it very, very short, he talks about the fact the greater lie we could tell about our Savior than to distance ourselves from others, especially at their moment of greatest hurt and vulnerability, how to hold out God's truth and God's love, not having chosen between the two. Without grace, it's fundamentalism. As a church, we should know not only for our unflinching commitment to truth, but also our exercise of excessive love toward our neighbors, even the LGBTQ. He says the sodomite sin is no different, no greater than gluttony. And therefore, says his words, Dr. J.D. Greer, we should love them, bring them out into our church, and let them help us lead in our church ministry programs. There's a problem with that.
Amen.
And the problem is, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today is the misunderstanding of biblical love. God loves us. God loves you. God loves each of us. He created us to love him and to surrender to him. His word is the written word that gives us the instructions. It's God's handbook, instruction book on how to live.
Amen.
And living a life outside of the word of God, the will of God, the way of God is the life of sin. God does not celebrate it. God does not embrace it. His love does not condone it, and neither should we. We should take that stand of saying, I love you, to tell you the truth.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard